Hare Krishna. As you may all hear, early hours of this morning and 3:35 p.m. by time there, His Holiness Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami left this world to be assisting Srila Prabhupada in his pastimes, wherever he is in his service. And this memorial ceremony that we are having this evening is for that purpose. The program will be from 7 to 8:30 p.m. we will be having the verbal offerings, after which we will have Pushpanjali, followed by Guru Puja for Maharaj. And to begin with, I would like to request, we are very fortunate to have one of His God sisters, Her Grace Nartaki Mataji. She is here and I would like to request her to kindly speak.
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Simeda Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pitarini Nivrishesha Shunyavadi Pastyati Adhishtatayini. His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj Ki Jai. My remembrance is not fully clearly in terms of, you know, time, like the years when Maharaj was in New Dwarka, but that is where I met him for the first time. And he had been also on the library party of Satsvarup Maharaj, and but he was in Los Angeles for some time also. I don't know, I don't clearly remember all the details, because naturally we were, at that time he was actually known as Ghanashyam. And I remember his personality. He was always very happy and jolly, and coming from the community, being in a black body, it seemed like Lord Chaitanya had him planned out for a particular mission, because in the 70s, I was speaking already in Bhaktivedanta Hospital about that, in the 70s, we started the main preaching, big book distribution started, and just a decade before that, like in 61 till 65 was the civil war, which in which Martin Luther King was very active to represent the rights of black people in America. And before that, there was still slavery going on, and black people had no rights. If a black person was on the bus sitting on a seat and a white person would come, that person would have to get up to give way for the white person. So many injustices were done to them. And what to speak of jobs, they weren't able to get jobs and education for their children. They were living in ghettos. And of course, in some states like Mississippi and the southern states, the full-on slavery was going on. And so Maharaj was actually active when Martin Luther King was proposing something similar to Gandhi, and non-violent disobedience civil war, kind of. He was proposing that. He was active in that also in his student times. And having been from this kind of community where suffering, where there was a lot of suffering, naturally his compassion for people who are who injustices were done to was very much so, and who were suffering like that. And he was throughout his life always trying to help others. And as Vaishnavas, we very much need to have this kind of compassion, jivadaya, and in our preaching. So he was always representing this mood. And in Los Angeles, when we were going out on book distribution, he would always be often a mediator between black people and sometimes the devotees who are ignorant, ignorantly kind of dealing with these sensitive issues. Naturally, we were always confronting the public, and there was some interaction there. And as I said, you know, these issues weren't at all yet settled. And even nowadays, if you would call a black person a Negro, you would have to, you would definitely get a reaction, because Negro implies slavery and coming from Africa and all these things. But black person, you could say black person. And best is if you would address a black person to be, "Hey bro, did you ever see one of our books? Bro means like the short for brother." So that means you're on their side. You're wanting to bridge the gap like that. So Maharaj and some ladies also on like Jagadambika, on the ladies' side, they were always mediators like that when we were confronting the public. Like, for example, at the airport, the jobs like I don't know what you call them, actually, luggage persons, they were often black people. They were mostly black people. You know, like if you at the departure area, if you would come drive into the airport, you would get out of the car, take out your luggage, and the black person would take your luggage and bring it to the airport, give you the tickets, you know, for your luggage, etc. These are all jobs for black people. So, and we were also at the airport distributing books, so they would always, of course, see us, you know, so it was like a daily, they were daily there and we were daily there. And they would see how, by our book distribution, we would earn very, you know, they had a very low income, of course, and we, by our book distribution, we would say, easily get from a person a $20 note, or sometimes from foreigners at international airports even a $100 note like that. So they would become a little envious of us, you know, and especially if we were white, they didn't. So that, so Ghanisham and other devotees who would make others, or the other devotees, always aware that we have to be conscious of this, you know, of the past things that were going on in America, and that we should be always very kind to them, friendly to them, constantly relate to them what we're doing, and be personal with them. So we started taking also Mahaprasadam out, and we would always distribute it and just do small talk with them also about their families, about their children, like that. But actually that is also service. It was not artificial. It was, devotees have feelings for others' common problems as well. Just like we see in Sanatana Goswami, he was very much concerned about the villages in Vrindavan, if their children were married, or if the crop had come up nicely that year. So he was considered a guru amongst them because he was so personal with them. So this is very much, that was very important. So Ghanisham would always present these things. And Then some years later, he went to New Vrindavan. We always felt like he should have stayed in Los Angeles, but we always felt he was part of our little community there. And but Krishna had his plans for him, and then later on he went to Africa. And I guess similar to Radhanath Maharaj, because of Kidnanda Maharaj's being ostracized from ISKCON, then also they were outside for some time. And he was in Africa preaching there. And he very successfully preached there. He had met many kings in Nigeria and some, I forgot which states, which countries he went. So, but he was very much welcomed there. And he did also some international, you know, United Nations projects, and he was well known in the outside community as well. And so many years later, I met Maharaj for the first time again in New Vrindavan. In fact, it was last year. In between May, I've seen him in India, here in India, and but not really talked to him. Then in New Vrindavan last year, we had the Festival of Inspiration, and he was one of the main speakers also. At that time, we did not know about his illness, and he also did not know. So we were a little complacent. I didn't take all the notes of his class. And but I remember clearly that the whole class was in the whole class, he was very much concerned about interrelationships amongst devotees, and that the relationships should be very loving and caring, and that one should be well-wishing towards the other devotees. And he did one test if we are thinking of another person in a negative way, then that affects the other person, and how it affects the other person. He did some small tests there, I remember that. He told the devotees in the room, I will send one person out on whom we do the test. So then he sent that person out, and he said to the devotees, so the first part of the test, I want you to all think negative of this person. Whatever you think, it should, you know, it is negative, right? And then I do some tests on that person. And the second part will be that you will all think very nice things about this person. Again, I will do a test. So they called that person in, and so everyone in the room was thinking, had a frown on the face and thinking bad of that person. And then Maharaj was telling the person he should lift up his arm, and he was putting some resistance on the arm here to push up, and Maharaj pushed down. So he tried really hard to push the arm up, but the resistance was strong. So he tried and tried and tried, and he was not able to lift the arm up all the way. Then Maharaj said, so now we start the second session of our test. So then everyone started thinking about this person in a very nice way. I hope he can pass the test, and thinking all kinds of nice things about the person. So then Maharaj again asked him to lift up the arm, and he put some resistance on the arm, and he was lifting bit by bit, he was lifting it all the way up. So then Maharaj was saying, see, because the influence, the vibrations in the room are so positive that even materially speaking, it comes to the benefit of that person. So, what to speak, if we are kind to each other and always thinking good of each other, always wishing the welfare of the other person, then this person, from a spiritual point of view, will flourish more and more. And not only, you know, all our interactions will be permeated with that love, and that will do good to the other person. And I remember also that Maharaj was very much concerned about and pained at the fact that our Gurukula children were not treated in their childhood very nicely in the Gurukulas. And he was always trying to help them. And I heard just on the 26th, which was Sunday, I think, that morning, Guruvani, the son of Rukmini, and a whole group of Gurukula children went to see Maharaj. Even though it was the day just before he passed away, he immediately smiled bright when he saw him. And he was so pleased that they came to see him and wanted to chant for him. So they were chanting for him for a long time. Also Maharaj, during this whole period of his illness, he was writing letters. Of course, at a certain point, he was not able to keep that up. But while he was still writing letters, one letter had come from a Lacha community. And I was reading his reply, and it was so loving and so encouraging. Anyone would think, you know, that at this point, maybe he will withdraw himself a little more or want to read more. No, he was his constant mood was to reach out and to encourage, and so he was saying that this community is so important because here we have older Vaishnavas, young Gurukula children, and newcomers as well. So this is a very, very important community, a balance between all. And you're doing a very important project, and you're cooperating so nice with each other. And I thank you so much for thinking of me at this time. And in such a loving way, he was writing and encouraging them, and he wanted to go. I don't know if he ever made it once again to see them, but he was encouraging throughout the whole letter. He was just encouraging them. And this morning, it was very far out. This morning we had in the hospital the Nadanam Nanjanam Nasundarim. And I was just thinking, you know, how I was in, when I was in New Vrindavan, there were several other festivals where he was there. Later on, there was the Pandava Senas came from England, a group of professional Indian young people. And Maharaj and Jayadvaita Maharaj were the main speakers. Radhanath Maharaj was there also. But I think he was not speaking so much. I think he was not one of the organizers or something. But Maharaj was had some get-together with these young people, and they were asking all kinds of questions. In the matter of that, he was also telling his own history, how his guru, he had met a guru from some other group or something. And that guru had told him, actually, I'm not your guru. Your guru is A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And he was so shocked when he found out it was the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, or the Hare Krishna people, because he was always, he had seen them before in the streets dancing and chanting like that, and wearing bed sheets and tilak, which he didn't know what it was or something. He felt their appearance very strange or unusual. So, and then at first he was challenging, you know, to see how genuine their philosophy was, but he couldn't find any fault whatsoever. And then at the end he realized, this is the perfect process, I want to follow this. And at that time, of course, it's America, there was he had one friend, and she was also professional, very nicely educated person, and white and pretty and like this. But she was not interested in Krishna consciousness, so he gave up her association. And actually, he became a lifelong dedicated devotee in this movement, just preaching Krishna consciousness. So Madhavananda Prabhu was saying this morning, he was like the embodiment, and I was adding this year, saying yes, he is, because he was not interested in these things. He was just wanting to preach Krishna consciousness and help in the mission of Srila Prabhupada. And with his own previous kind of feelings of compassion towards suffering people, he was always his whole life dedicating to for the benefit of humanity, to for individuals, for people. He made himself available and preached Krishna consciousness. So I felt he was by picking up the mood of Srila Prabhupada so closely, to concern himself with the welfare, spiritual welfare of others, he certainly received the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and thereby also received the mercy of Lord Krishna. Because whenever the Guru is pleased, then naturally that attracts the mercy of Krishna as well. So I'm sad for us having lost his association. There was one more meeting I saw him also. We went to Gitanagari with Malati. We drove up there. And I forgot what the occasion was. Radhanath Maharaj was there. Dhanuram Maharaj was there. Several. And we were at one of his disciples' house. And at that point, he was putting one of his feet out, and I was thinking all the time how he always used to dance so much. He loved to dance and chant. In Los Angeles too, there were two devotees that were very prominent kirtan leaders. It was Maharaj and Agnidev. And everyone was just so attracted to the kirtans. They would rush after the daily services, they would rush to the temple for the evening program. And Prabhupada called that ISKCON sandwich, you know, in the morning, a full morning program, in between some service, daily services, and then at night again, spiritual program. And we got a full taste for that, and by wonderful kirtan leaders like Maharaj and, as I said, Agnidev, also in a black body. They were just having this most wonderful kirtans. I remember sometimes we would the kirtans would go on and on, and we would sometimes go outside into the street, go take a whole parikram around the whole block, and then come back. And so on some tapes, you would all of a sudden, the kirtan would disappear. And then that was because of that. They would just become so ecstatic, they couldn't stay inside. They wanted to go outside and wanted the others to hear the kirtan as well. So they took the whole group outside and everyone followed, and it became actually Naga Sankirtan. And then in the evening there were Chaitanya Charitamrita readings like that. So it was nice ISKCON sandwich, and we got a very nice taste from this. And so that time when we were in Gitanagari, Maharaj had his foot like spread out a little. We were sitting on seats. And then I saw that his foot was so swollen, and I was worried. I was thinking, maybe he, in India, maybe he contracted elephantitis or something. But then I was thinking, that can't be, because there's only one foot, because in elephantitis is usually both feet. And then sometime later, we found out that there was some malignancy. And and then we were thinking, the first thing Malati was saying, you know, well, she was so concerned because she knew, you know, Maharaj was so much loved by the devotees there, and how much, very much needed also. Even though he likes the kirtan so much, if that saves his life, better let his foot be amputated. But at first he didn't want to, and this anxiety was kind of capturing all of us, you know. But if his life can be saved, it is better the foot should be, you know, even then he cannot do such kirtan, but at least he can sing like that. So and then gradually, of course, it was known that that also would not have saved his life. So it became clear that Lord Krishna wanted him back in the spiritual world, and Prabhupada called him back. So now we are bereft of the association of such wonderful Vaishnava. At the same time, we are happy for him because naturally the pain became more and more, and we wanted him to reach the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj ki jai. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
First is Grace Krishna Chandra Prabhu to kindly make his offering.
Hare Krishna. His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was even by the very high standards of the pure devotion of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, even by those high standards he was a really extraordinary devotee and had a tremendous impact on ISKCON as well as also our temple. He was a very enthusiastic well-wisher of everyone. As we heard, he was very extremely bold. He was very forthright, never hesitated. There were many instances of his boldness. We know about his preaching programs in the communist countries in the 70s, which was, we have no idea what it is like to the risk that is involved there, because in those countries at that time, in Romania, Poland, Czechoslovakia and so on, if you were caught with a spiritual literature of any type, you would be killed and nobody would know about it. There was no question of any law. And he was among the few who was constantly going there to sell books and to preach. That was his conviction. Also, he was even in a different light when Radha Gopinath Mandir was out of the ISKCON circle for some time. He was bold enough to follow his own instincts, and he kept his, not only kept his relations, but his love and warmth was always there. And I do remember there was an occasion when in 93, when just after certain events took place in September, and when His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was not really available to many devotees, I do know that he was the only person he was in constant touch with for those two or three days was Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. So that was his support, his wisdom, his love for the devotees. He was also very very influential even within ISKCON, because being black-bodied, he also had a major responsibility. He was very effective in the continent of Africa. And as Mataji just mentioned that, see, there each country is, it's a very poor continent, but each country has its own different, king or tribal leaders. And Maharaj was always, whenever he was there, he was always on national television or meeting the heads of states. That was the kind of power he had, and he was very much loved by all. He was very humorous. I remember when he was here, he was telling us of course, we could understand the kind of difficulties he must be facing, but he made light of it when he was telling various stories about the preaching problems in Africa. Once he was in a plane going from one country to another, and it was so full, there were, I think, 120 seats and about 160 people were in the plane, so about 40 were standing. So the pilot said it's not possible to take off the pilot announced that everyone had to get off the plane with their bags, and then with the bags they have to run round the plane three times, and whoever was the first 120 would get in. So Maharaj said that I was athletic, so I was among the first to get in. Also another time, same again in Africa only, they were in a plane, they sat for about 6-7 hours and the plane wouldn't take off, so then they all were made to get off and push the plane. So Maharaj, I asked him that, didn't you have any worries, you know, that this same plane is going to take you to another place? He said, we were so tired, I think they sat for some 8 hours in the plane. He said, we were so tired that we just got back in and then some of the plane took off. But it gives an idea of what, just a glimpse of what kind of life they cheerfully took on for the benefit of all. It was, it may be very pleasant or it may be difficult, but he was always in the forefront. When he was in Africa also, Ladini Mataji, who we have heard, you know, she's already a legend in our ISKCON movement, and she left her body in 1919 in very glorious circumstances, really literally fighting on the battlefield. So she was actually serving under Maharaj, and she was very close to Maharaj. So he, remember the letter he wrote after she left her body, the letter he wrote to her parents. She left her body in July 1990, and he wrote this, I think, in September. And it was a very wonderful letter because it combined many aspects. Actually, that time they had not found her body, so he had the delicate task to kind of tell the parents that it is confirmed that she is no more, because they were still living in hope. So he managed to give that. At the same time, he gave some wonderful insights into her preaching mood, and also how fortunate the parents were to have such a child. So we could see that he had some, he was really an exceptional personality. We have seen here in our own temple the kind of life he brought in. He was so full of magnetism. I think the only time I was sitting up there, probably, was when he was here. I went up to just see, and you could see the effect he had on everyone, the enthusiasm which everyone would get. His laughter, and of course his brilliance also. So, in short, we can. I really feel that as in his disciple, through the other disciples of Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj also really has set an example for us to how to lead a life, and also to strengthen our faith in Srila Prabhupada, because through such disciples we get a glimpse of what Srila Prabhupada was. If such an extraordinary personality was surrendered to Srila Prabhupada, then even if we have not physically met Prabhupada, we just get an idea of what must be his potency and power, that Maharaj was also completely surrendered to him. So we have been extremely fortunate to have some glimpse of his life, and because for our temple he has always been having a very special loving heart. I was hearing from Giriraj Prabhu the other day, he was talking about some of the comments he made at the hospital. He was always very encouraging and pushing, especially in the initial days when the temple had hardly manifested any of the services. So he was himself a visionary and very much supported it. So, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Actually, we... often speak how disappearance of a Vaishnava is both a moment of happiness and sadness, but probably first time we have first hand experience of it, that we feel joy simultaneously that he had had a wonderful departure, but the sadness that we will not have any more of his association. We are very fortunate, we have His Grace Govind Prabhu and Shikshastakam Prabhu with us, who had the opportunity of speaking to him just a few days before he left, about 15-20 days before, and they had a very close intimate conversation. So I would like to request both of them each to share their thoughts and what they shared with Maharaj.
Shri Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj ki. About 2 months back, when we went to Gita Nagari with His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, Maharaj introduced me to him, and then Maharaj was speaking, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, almost 20 minutes, glorifying all the devotees of Shri Radha Gopinath Temple. And he mentioned many things which I would like to share during our Sunday festival program, which we are going to offer on his memory. I'll just share something which Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was speaking regularly. We had great fortune of visiting him every Sunday. It was quite amazing to see devotees coming from different parts of America to meet Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. They would drive 7 hours, 8 hours one way, then after the program they would go back. This was a regular feature, and he was attracting so many people by his wonderful preaching every Sunday. In one of his talk, Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was mentioning that I lived with style, and he actually lived with style. The kind of dress he would wear, kind of talk he would give, kind of stick he would carry, it was amazing. And he would say, because I lived with style, I would die with style. And devotees would go in great, you know, happiness, they would scream and chant Hari Bol. And it was quite amazing to see every day they would listen from different sources, that's only going to live 40 hours, 28 hours. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj would, you know, I was fortunate to hear from him regularly. He would say that only 48 hours he is living, so I cannot leave this place, I have to be with him. Because Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, during the festival of inspiration, Maharaj gave a very powerful talk on this festival. And all the devotees went to Gita Nagari. That was 8th May. And then Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj requested Radhanath Maharaj that you should stay with me till I pass from this world. And that means nobody knew how long. And Maharaj had all his programs set up, Nivrindavan, Rainbow Gathering. But because his god brother was asking him to stay with him, he was obliged. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj made one very emotional statement to him. He said, I want to leave my body within your arms. So Maharaj telling us, I have no way I could leave that place now. I am obliged to stay. So even if you had to come to Nivrindavan or some other place, it was always an anxiety. Maharaj would give talk, but he would say that I have to be back now. I have to rush back. And he would drive back to Gita Nagari, because he didn't want to see Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj depart without he being there, because that was Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's request. And then yesterday when we heard how peacefully in the association of devotees he passed away. Just before I came here at the New York airport, Maharaj just called us to wish us happy journey. And then Maharaj was speaking. That was the day of Mukunda Datta's disappearance and Snana Yatra. Every day Radhanath Swami Maharaj would spend almost 3 hours with him. They would sit together in his room, and he would narrate the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, pastimes of our great acharyas. and stories from Srimad Bhagavatam. And this day, on the disappearance of Mukund Dutt, Maharaj narrated the full pastimes of Mukund Dutt. When Bhakti Tirth Maharaj came to know that Mukund Dutt was the brother of Vasudev Dutt, he was trying to imbibe the mood of Vasudev Dutt, who was suffering for other conditioned soul. So he clasped the hand of Maharaj tightly and he said, "Oh, he's the brother of Vasudev Dutt, he's the brother of Vasudev Dutt." He was crying tears and Maharaj is telling all this at the airport. And after 2 hours of talk, Maharaj is staying about a mile away from where Bhakti Tirth Maharaj stays. And he went back to his place. And within 5 minutes, Bhakti Tirth Maharaj called him. He said, "Maharaj, you please come. I want to talk to you." And he had just reached 5 minutes before Maharaj drove back to this place. And Bhakti Tirth Maharaj told, "I am going to pass now. I want to leave this world immediately today. Because today is such an auspicious day. Today is the auspicious disappearance of Mukund Dutt. Today is the Snan Yatra." So immediately Maharaj called all of his disciples. In fact, for many days he was not meeting any devotees. He was not giving a public darshan. Only his caretakers would go inside. So all the devotees, about 50 devotees who were staying in Gita Nagari, they came there. They are having big kirtan. And Maharaj sitting next to him, holding his hand, sometime patting him, sometime pressing his hands, and chanting Hare Krishna mantra along with him. And his disciples, usually people work hard to protect their loved one, beloved one, and they also want to stay. But here Bhakti Tirth Maharaj was very eager to leave this world. And one of his caretakers, Ekaveera Prabhu, everybody knows him, he has offered his obeisances to all the devotees. And he was telling to his spiritual master, "Gurudev, go for it, Gurudev, go for it. That means this is the time for you to leave this world." And for 2 hours he was intensely trying to leave his body. Then he looked at Radhanath Maharaj. He said, "Krishna is not taking me." And then he stopped the kirtan. He suspended everyone. Everyone went away. This is all Maharaj is narrating at us the airport. And he said, "Maybe tonight Krishna will take me." But again he continued to stay. Another day, like one of the Sundays, every Sunday he would come out of his home and at the ground, at the lawn, or sometime at Radha Damodar temple, he would give talks. And one Sunday he came to Radha Damodar temple and he sang so powerfully. We went previous 2 weeks and his voice was weak. He was not able to sing properly. But this week, he was chanting so intensely the holy names of the Lord, singing different songs. The whole atmosphere was surcharged with amazing spiritual atmosphere. And he gave this very powerful talk on passing away from this world. Every devotee in that temple, including himself, were crying so much while the talk was going on. And after the talk was over, when all the devotees came out, I didn't see even one person who was not crying. I saw this German devotee, huge, almost 7 feet, and he's very strong. You know, you can see him being like a soldier. When he came out, he came to talk to me and he broke down like a small child. He was crying. He was so much affected by that powerful atmosphere. And then Maharaj came out and Radhanand Maharaj told us, he said, before the program begin, he told Maharaj, "Maharaj, I'm expecting that in this kirtan, in this talk, when I am surrounded by so many devotees, I will pass." And Maharaj told us, because he was chanting and he was expecting to leave this body, he was putting all of his energy, even though there was no energy. Some other he borrowed energy from the spiritual source. And he was intensely chanting the holy name of the Lord. And still he could not. So there was a great regret in his heart that he is not going, leaving this world. But at the same time, every talk which he was giving, he was teaching so many instructions. And then Srila Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, when he would give his talk every Sunday, as one lecture in Gita Nagari, Radhanath Swami Maharaj mentioning, the devotional life is damn serious, but at the same time it's full of joyfulness. So even though he was about to leave this body, In every lecture, he maintained the principle of humor. He would make people laugh, and at the same time, people will be crying immediately. That was quite an amazing experience. And when I was there, I can share briefly, and the next week we will speak more about it. He made one point. He said, you know what? He said, you find in the histories, in the pages of the histories, the great devotees like Vasudev Dutt, Haridas Thakur, Jesus, Muhammad, all these great personalities, they suffered for others' cause. And that has always been in the spiritual practitioners, that to suffer for others' cause. And it should not remain in the pages of the history. There has to be also a living example. And I am so fortunate, Krishna is using me as that example. Even though there is so much of pain in this body, in fact, I have seen him so robust, very powerful like an athlete. But when we saw first time, the body was completely disintegrating. He had no energy. His foot was amputated. Up till here, his whole body was becoming very much fast disintegrating. But he said, you know what? He said, I would not trade anything for this. I am so happy that I have this cancer. I am embracing it every day. I am joyfully accepting it so that I can set an example. I am so fortunate to do this. Nothing will make me give up this cancer. And because you are setting an example to all the devotees, creating such an amazing transcendental vibrations, everybody could experience that powerful vibrations. And we were expecting that during our time he would depart so that we would be there for that function. But he was not. Every Sunday there would be rumors. In one lecture he said, so there was a rumor from devotees that I am going to pass on Narsingh Chaturdashi day. It's not. I am not. Actually I have already passed. I am not in this world anymore. Only few things are there and the body is disintegrating. Every week devotees would make speculations. Oh, today is Lord Jagannath's Rath Yatra. During Rath Yatra, New York Rath Yatra, again Maharaj called. And he said, I am not coming to Rath Yatra because Bhakti Tirth Maharaj might pass today only. But he didn't live. He continued to stay. Just to set a powerful example for all the devotees. In one purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions, this material world is so designed, it is not meant to stay here. All our activities, all our endeavor should be directed towards giving up this material body. If we do not prepare for this course of action, we will simply increase our suffering. Because material world is meant to give us more and more suffering. And one point Bhakti Tirth Maharaj mentioned, that if you see in the modern time, every third person will be contracted with cancer. And unfortunately, we are receiving so many bad news from Bombay about devotees suffering. But because he is setting such an example, whichever devotees I met, those who are suffering from this, they are continuing to follow the legacy of Bhakti Tirth Maharaj by maintaining their strong Krishna consciousness. And that's what he always felt, that is the success of my life, to give people strong Krishna consciousness principle and unite all the devotees serving Srila Prabhupada's mission and serving the fallen conditioned souls to give this proper understanding how to face death. So we were very fortunate to be there many weeks and spend time with His Holiness Bhakti Tirth Maharaj. We are unfortunate, we were planning to extend our ticket, but we could not. But there are some devotees from Radha Gopinath Temple, I saw on the website, Gaurang Prabhu is there, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu is there, they are representing Shri Radha Gopinath Temple in this glorious pastime of the glorious departure of His Holiness Bhakti Tirth Swami Maharaj. His Holiness Bhakti Tirth Swami Maharaj ki! His Holiness Bhakti Tirth Maharaj's glorious departure to the spiritual world ki!
Thank you, Prabhu. Actually, this morning we heard a lecture of his when he gave on a Sunday feast talk, and he was saying, of course, that is his humility to say that I am embracing this cancer, but he was saying that the mercy of the Lord, in any way it comes, we must accept it with a grateful heart. He was saying sometimes mercy comes from front. That means you expected mercy in a particular way and it may come in one way, in the same way. And that is very pleasing. Sometimes mercy comes from the side. And sometimes it comes from behind. Just not the way you may expect. But then to accept it as a mercy, just as sent by the Lord and accept it. Actually, it gives us more faith in this process what Srila Prabhupada has given. We have heard of, just like when Haridas Thakur passed away, people remembered Bhishma's passing away. All the devotees who were there immediately remembered. Similarly, when we see that someone leaving the body amidst the Vaishnava's holy name and such a surcharged atmosphere, it actually gives us faith and truly a great example. I would request as great Shikshastakam Prabhu also was there at that time to share his thoughts.
Krishna. As Govind Prabhu was mentioning that when we were just about to leave America, on the airport we received the phone call from Radhanath Maharaj, and it appeared to us that he might leave that day, as he was mentioning, and we were just discussing that we should have extended our ticket. But then we were also discussing that we should be very optimistic in thinking that being grateful for at least be present for so many of his wonderful lectures and having his personal association at one point of time. So rather being in this mood of maybe a kind of complaint or repenting that we were unfortunate that we were not there when he departed, we should be grateful that at least we could attend that much portion of this wonderful pastime of his departure. And in fact, as we were discussing that, and just right now also as Govind Prabhu was speaking, I just remembered this one point from his very first lecture which we attended, one of the Sundays in Gita Nagari, in which he mentions about this point of gratitude, in which he said very wonderfully that if, as devotees, we are grateful for the past, then only we can appreciate the present. And I can see that in this particular situation, that we can be grateful, especially myself, both of us, that we were over there, and we can appreciate this present moment, that we are getting this opportunity to glorify him. I don't think we would be getting that opportunity over there to even come up and speak about his glories. So we can see firsthand that what he said is coming true, that we were grateful that we were present over there, and now we can appreciate this present, that we can appreciate the glories of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. And also, this morning we heard this powerful lecture which was given by him, the last formal lecture, and some of the points which he mentions in this lecture are something so heart-stirring and something very revolutionary, in which, and it's not just he's speaking about that, he's also exemplifying in his own life. So he began his talk by putting up a question to all the devotees, asking this question that how many times we ask this question to ourselves, that when we are in an unfortunate situation, we ask this question that why me? Why it has to happen to me? And then he put forth another question that how many times when good things happen to us, that we ask this question, why not him? So it was very amazing. In fact, I was writing down these questions as he was speaking in this very same book. And then the third question which he asked, that how many times when we see someone suffering, do we ask this question, why that person, why not me? So these three important questions which he started his lecture from, and then how he went into those emotions, those powerful emotions, we can see that yes, he has exemplified in his own life these questions that for so many years he was praying that whatever problems devotees are facing, let all the problems and the reaction to those problems come to him. And he was really in that mood that when others were suffering, he was asking this question that why them, why not me? And in fact, in New Vrindavan, when His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj met us for one day, he came for some important engagement, just took one day leave from Gita Nagari from him. So he was telling with so much gravity. He said that, I have never seen a person, he was speaking about Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he said, I have never seen a person so close to God. Which means, we also, hardly we have any realization of who is Krishna. But even we, when we were there in Gita Nagari, we could feel as if he is this much close to Krishna, and it's just a matter of time, and he's just, you know, doing goodbye to us, saying that, okay, I am on my way. So, like Ramanujacharya, when he was departing, so his disciples were lamenting. So he said that, in fact, I should be lamenting for you because you are staying back and I am going to the spiritual world. So in that sense, though we saw him crying and all these mixed emotions were there, in all these mixed emotions, actually I felt that though I may have a very healthy body as compared to him, but what about the spiritual body? He's having such a healthy spiritual body that it's practically seen through his words, and he's getting that. And as Govind Prabhu said, that he mentioned how his entire life he lived in style, and he said that how his also dying in style, and we could see that with our own eyes over there. This morning one student was asking me this question, that how is it that such a elevated senior disciple of Prabhupada, such a glorious preacher, how is it that Krishna arranged that he left his body on an ordinary day, which means it's not, you know, in the Vaishnava calendar any appearance or disappearance. So my analysis was that actually Krishna added another auspicious day in our Vaishnava calendar in his departure, that we can celebrate another glorious departure of this wonderful Vaishnava, rather than thinking that, you know, having this doubt that how come, you know, he left his body on an ordinary day apparently. So I pray to His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj that please, if he is so close to Krishna, we can say that practically he is with Krishna, that if he somehow in that crowd when we were there, if he might have glanced on us and just had his merciful glance on us, if he just remembers wherever he is, even we may have some hope. His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj ki.
Thank you, Prabhu. I'll request Mahaprabhuji to kindly.
His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj ki. Actually, I met Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj in 1979 in Juhu Temple, and thereafter about 25 times at New Vrindavan, Bombay, at Washington, New York, and several other places, time to time. He was very personal. And he has full faith in Krishna. And he has written certain books to guide, management books actually. He has signed last year also some books and gave to me. This year also when I was in Gita Nagari, actually I was sitting opposite Srila Prabhupada, and I was not knowing that he is coming and paying obeisances. So he saw me immediately, wonderful glance, and he smiled nicely. And just this month only, and that was his last day when he delivered the lecture, historic lecture. He is wonderful. As Mataji said, that he is always jolly. The last lecture when he was delivering in Gita Nagari, at that time he said one very important, means something which in which he was laughing for not less than 10 minutes. If you people have heard today his cassette, full cassettes, he was talking that how Gunagrahi Maharaj invited him for prasad, and he prepared pizza. And for that pizza, he was talking 10 minutes in that last day lecture, and he was laughing, 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 and he was saying, for 3 hours, I was eating pizza, and we were talking about Krishna and pizza, and that was his, in the laughing, and you know, thereafter, in few minutes, he was crying. He was so personal. I may mention one or two points very deeply, means I am influenced when he told me something, and at that time when we were out from ISKCON, I met him in, he has a very big place in Washington near White House. He has 3 buildings there of his own. He has thousands of disciples and very, very big, big kings and big, big maharajas and big, big people, they are his disciples. And he took me for 3 hours, means we were 3 hours in one lake in Washington, very big lake or big garden, very famous. Talking, he said, if any movement, if we want to make progress, if people, a wealthy people, and the people who have a social status in the society, if they don't interfere, the spiritual management, then, and the thing should go on the basis of the spiritual guidance of the pure devotee, then movement will flourish like anything. We are seeing that thing here. And like Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he is very hopeful about Radha Gopinath Mandir. Though he himself has got a very big disciples and a very big circle around the world, but he has very big hope from Radha Gopinath Mandir. And what I understand, that though we may call him management guru, because he has written several books and his books are textbooks in several places in Africa and several places, and I have seen even several courses Shyamanand Prabhu even conducted here, the management course, and I say, from where is I, and I got from news also from other preachers, that's from his books. And but it's not only the management of this material world. He has taught us how to die. And we have to learn from him that if we want to die, we have not to have any other agenda. Like when he gave last lecture, he mentioned about Parikshit Maharaj, that now I am going to that, that technical word, like anybody who is Nirjan Bhajan. Yeah, I am going that mood, and like Parikshit Maharaj, now nobody will call me by my name, Karmi name, or means, no, there is no question of Karmi, but he mentioned, I am not that, I am not now Bhakti Tirth, I am not Krishna Pad, or whatever he says. Now I have done whatever I wanted to say. I have done everything. I have no agenda left now. You see, he prepared in such a way. He was so particular, because in America you cannot make samadhi. So he was particular where his last ceremony will be done, what type of wood will be used where, then that, you know, samadhi, this where the pushpa samadhi will be made, you know, and where his samadhi here means will be made in Gita Nagari. All these minute details he knew everything clear cut, and says, I have not to give any instruction to anybody now, here and after. No, and he said clearly, with me only there will be two person now. One is Radhanath Swami, and second person will be, or two, actually, two, those, his, caretakers. Two caretakers will be with me. Anybody wants to come? Whoever they may be. Guru, or disciples, or whoever they may be. They will be, if they want to do kirtan, they can do kirtan in the separate room. I'm not going to talk, I'm not going to meet. Means he planned up thing in such a way. And in that planning, something which I really, we must learn how he planned up his life. Though he surrendered to Srila Prabhupada, but he has planned up that he needs somebody. And he actually accepted, I am told, Radhanath Swami as his Siksha Guru. It means we must have, it's not only the, my son and my daughter or my wife and my this. We need somebody whom we can rely, we can reveal our heart. We need that person. He is teaching us, and that he has shown by having association of Radhana Swami Maharaj. Because he, as he Govind Prabhu mentioned, that he wants to give up his body actually in his hands. And he has also given instruction that afterwards, you know, Maharaj will be there and what he will be doing and all those things. So this is a very important instruction. He is teaching us. Most of the management people or the people, they will teach how to manage temple. He is teaching us how to manage death, which is sure, which is going to come. And, you know, when he, I'm told that he has got very big funds because of several regions. That funds, now how he wants to use that funds, he has made everything, because money play very important part in life. And so for that purpose, he planned up everything, that money has come for my sickness, and that money should be used for the sickness of the devotees around the world whenever it is needed. Means he had made a special trust for that. And Maharaj also, he has clear cut idea, just like in management guru, you know, they know what is important, what is urgent, and if you don't attain those things, then it becomes crisis. He applied those principles in his own life, that he now, I'm 90%, 95% he used these words, and I'm 45%, I'm finished already. Now I want to, now for me important thing is that I should devote my total time, like Parikshit Maharaj, not, I'm told the last 15 days he was not even actually eating anything, little ice they were putting in his mouth, and that was the only thing. So he was actually not interested at all now, and he wanted to dedicate the total concentration on Krishna only, and preparing for his next journey, for which he was completely ready. So by this method, we can see that he has taught how to die, and his books, though materially is so, is kirtans. Actually, if you want to see people who are most successful in the movement, they must be very good in kirtan. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is kirtan. The way he will jump. Actually, then I wrote to Maharaj last week that in New York Rath Yatra, Maharaj was not there and Bhakti Teeth Maharaj was not there, because I am attending this yatra for last 20 years in New York. And Maharaj, without them, that New York Rath Yatra was actually half empty. The way Maharaj, you know, doing kirtan, they are here, we are seen, he will jump up 4 feet like that. And so in our movement, if really we want to, how nicely we are chanting or dancing, that will show we are really making spiritual progress. That is the way he has taught us. The dancing is a, and the last thing he said when he was doing class, this last class, he says, today many people have turned up here and I am doubtful whether they have prepared enough prasadam for all of you, because they were not expecting so many people will be coming. But I want everybody should take prasad, and in case prasad is falling short, you should go to the people who are in charge of the cooking prasadam and see that you get prasad, and then you should leave this place. So he was very, very concerned about prasad, chanting, and vision for giving the guidelines to the future generation. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he is there, he will be always with us, and his guidance he has given, and he has big hope from us, and greatest Siddhanjali for him will be that if we follow his guidelines, his instruction. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj ki.
Thank you, Mahaprabhuji. We are also very fortunate that we have one of his disciples with us today, His Grace Mahamantra Prabhu, who has been with us for quite a few months now, and he is doing a wonderful service. He's been a source of inspiration for all of us, and he is making us also in future going to jhans by teaching us mridanga now. Practically all the brahmacharis you see now during Guru Puja, everyone is rehearsing their mridangas thanks to Mahamantra Prabhu. So I would request him also to kindly share his thoughts.
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Tirtha Swamin Iti Namini. Namaste Krishna Padaya Prabhupad Ashitatmani Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Bhakti Tirtha Iti Namini. These are Guru Maharaj's pranam mantras. Namaste Krishna Padaya. I offer my respectful obeisances unto he who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, Prabhupada Ashitatmani, who has taken full shelter of Srila Prabhupada, Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti. He personifies the compassion and mercy potency of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bhakti Tirtha Iti Namini. Such, this great personality, he is Bhakti Tirtha Swami. So we can see His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami's life is a life perfect, a life perfected. Way back in the 1970s, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada himself, after seeing the courageous preaching of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj in the communist countries, he embraced Bhakti, Srila Prabhupada embraced Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj rubbed his head and said, your life is successful. This was long ago, even 30 years ago, what to speak of now. The former Harikeshwami, he has shared something which is quite relevant in the personal example in the life of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. He said, in the mission of Guru and Gauranga, let us work hard. Let us make our life a life of sacrifice. So, at the time of death, we may lie down with full satisfaction, with being content that I have given my everything in service to the mission of Guru and Gauranga. Ayurharati vaipum sam udyanastan chayan aso tasyate yat kshanonita uttama shloka vartaya. Both by rising and by setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except those who spend their time glorifying the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is praised with transcendental songs. Ante Narayana Smriti, the perfection of life is to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead at the end of life. So we can see Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's life is a perfect example of all these things. He, from joining his god brothers and god sisters, they explain to us that he was always distinctly working very hard, making always that extra effort to become pure so that he can really serve, and to go to extraneous measures to satisfy the order of Srila Prabhupada, to distribute his books and push on the message. I was serving Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj here in Bombay in February and March 2003, when he was getting some treatment, Panchakarma treatment, at the Bhaktivedanta Hospital. And he was saying to me and one other devotee that throughout my devotional life, the most time I've ever given any time for my body is when I had prostate operation, where I had to stay overnight in the hospital. Then early in the morning I left. Up until this time I never gave any time to my body. I sacrificed my eating, I sacrificed my sleeping. He explained how he was eating fruit only once a day, one or two pieces. He never slept in the day throughout his devotional career, up until a few days before his physical departure, a few days ago. And up until the prostate operation, he never gave any time for his material body. He was so engaged in the mission of his spiritual master. And it was at Bhaktivedanta Hospital with great reluctance. He spent 2 or 3 weeks just trying to sort out some body problems. So, Radhanath Maharaj, he often gives the explanation. He often states Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that one can see the progress of a Vaishnava by how one has developed intimate loving exchanges with the devotees, has great affection for the Vaishnavas, and has received affection from the Vaishnavas. One can measure a devotee's spiritual advancement by these barometers. And we can see right now that Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he has a worldwide shower. Maharaj has a worldwide shower of affection. We can see here, like, how many temples are there in the International Society of Krishna Consciousness? Maybe 300-400. In this one temple, there is hundreds of devotees assembled. In this one temple. Then there is those who didn't make it. Then there are other temples within the city, other temples within India, different countries, different continents. Around the world, there are thousands, many, many thousands of devotees who are showering their affection on Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Up until this time, at this time, and continuing. And why is this? This is because Mad Bhakta Puja Bhyadikam. Krishna says that the best worship of me is worship of my devotee. Because Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj has given so much time to the Vaishnavas, he has received the affection, and given so much affection to them munificently, that in turn he has received the affection, the worldwide shower of affection of the global Vaishnava community. In one of Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's most recent books, Spiritual Warrior 5, actually it's common throughout his writings and teachings, an example. He explains that we must die to live. We must die to live. This means a few things. That means while residing within this body in the material world, we must give death to our previous habits, our previous tendencies, our anartas, our entanglements within the heart. And while doing so, dying to live, we become connected with the spiritual world. We begin to have one foot within the material world and one foot within the spiritual world, actually. Maharaj explains in chapter 7 of Spiritual Warrior 5 that we should plan the perfect escape. It means a prisoner, he gives the analogy that a prisoner within the prison is always thinking how to make the perfect escape, how to get out of here somehow. So similarly, a devotee is always planning to how to end my anartas, how to end my material desires and connect back with the spiritual world. But not only selfishly, not only to go back to Godhead myself, but to bring as many with me as possible. And we see by Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's life example, he is the perfect example of this. He prayed in his own way in the mood of Vasudeva Datta, seeing the suffering of the people in general, and of devotees within the Vaishnava community also. Let me accept the suffering of as many people as possible, so that as many people as possible can experience a higher level of Krishna consciousness. So this is how the whole story started of Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's glorious departure back to Goloka Vrindavan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavas die when thou art still living in sound. A Vaishnava dies to live, and living spreads the holy name around. In other words, it is a fool who thinks that a Vaishnava dies because he resides always within his words. He resides always within his instructions. They are divine. They are spiritual sound vibration. Shabda Pramana. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj is not dead. He is not dead. He has simply evolved. He has gone back to his eternal identity within the spiritual world. And the connection of us with him remains also. That does not die. This evolves. It simply takes another form. The relationship with the spiritual master is eternal. Now the relationship with the spiritual master, it simply deepens, it takes another shape, another form. Now the relationship with the spiritual master, it deepens when the instructions are followed to such an extent that one no longer becomes even dependent on the physical presence of the spiritual master. Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj Ki.
Finally, I would request Srinath Ji Prabhu to kindly.
Hare Krishna. Yesterday, my wife and I, we went to see our beloved Sot Krishna Prabhu, and we also went to see Mulidhar Prabhu's daughter. And there I was told that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj may have maximum 10 to 12 hours left. So immediately I went on the website, and today I was able to download a certain last departure of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, which I will give it to devotees, they can put it up. I read from that. This is 19 hours and 47 minutes. Monday, 27th June. Departure journal, Samadhi Sanskar. Departure of His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami. Immediately after Gurudev's departure, he was changed into a gamcha and then taken to the bathroom and shaved. While the shaving went on, Gurudev's room was cleaned. At roughly 5:15 p.m., the nurse came to confirm Gurudev's passing and dispose of his medicines. Around 5:25 p.m., the bathing started. Srila Radhanath Swami came for this. Up until the point, Maharaj had not been in the room. Emotionally, Maharaj was quite moved. That is, Radhanath Maharaj was quite moved by Gurudev's departure. Very meekly, Maharaj came in to participate with the other caregivers in bathing Gurudev. The bathing of Gurudev was a very moving experience for all those who saw it. Here, a great spiritual warrior who sacrificed his everything had completed his mission. Now he received his victory bath. And all the tension and pain that he bore in his great mission was now washed away. And a beautiful abhishek of several of his beloved disciples and his most beloved god brother. Gurudev was bathed with Pancha Gavya, a mixture of five substances: yogurt, ghee, milk, cow urine and dung. The water used was mixture of the holy rivers Ganga water taken from Mayapur on the full moon night of last year's Gaur Purnima. This was mixed with water from Radhakund, Pavan Sarovar, Kusum Sarovar and many other sacred waters. It was very intimate. There the caretakers or caregivers and Maharaj were with the sacred body of Maharaj, offered abhishek, and Radhanath Maharaj was so moved that he left a little early. Afterwards, Gurudev's body appeared so peaceful and tranquil. At 5:45, Gurudev's lotus feet were cast into a mold. After the casting, Gurudev was bathed again. Gurudev was then dressed in a new kaupan, cloth, neck beads and Brahmin thread. The Brahmin thread was from Sri Shyam Sundar in Vrindavan. At 6:30 p.m., Radhanath Maharaj was called to write the Samadhi mantras on Gurudev's chest. Maharaj did this with a Tulsi Manjari and Chandan. Those present remarked of how pointed Radha Maharaj was in his focus during this process. During the whole process, from the bathing until now, Radhanath Maharaj was silent and grave. Afterwards, the Samadhi mantras shone. Samadhi mantras shone brilliantly on Maharaj's chest. Please turn off your mobiles. This took some time to dry. When the new kurta was placed on Gurudev and he was prepared for his procession through the woods to the temple, many more devotees have come and there is ecstatic kirtan. Now he is giving live commentary. Many more devotees have come and there is ecstatic kirtan led by Nityodita Prabhu happening in the living room. Everyone is chanting with such genuine feeling and inspiration. We will continue to update you again after the departure ceremony. All glories to the most beautiful departure of His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami. And there are pictures here of Radhanath Maharaj writing on the chest of Bhakti Tirtha Swami. Also the kirtan here, and I will leave this in the care of Govind Prabhu, who will put it up on the notice board. I would also like to read the official announcement so that everybody has the same. This is from, in case any of you have got the computers where you can get on the internet, better go on www.btswami.com. And you'll find an array of very wonderful articles, including his latest lectures, summary of all his books. I have downloaded them, and that also I will circulate here. His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami, Swami Krishnapad. This is the official announcement. Bhakti Tirtha Swami was born John E. Favors in a pious, God-fearing family. As a child evangelist, he appeared regularly on television. As a child, he was preaching. As a young man, he was a leader in Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s civil rights movement. At Princeton University, where he was a very outstanding scholar, at Princeton University, he became president of the Students' Council and also served as the chairman of the Third World Coalition. Although his main degree is in psychology, he has received accolades in many other fields, including politics, African studies, and international law. Bhakti Tirtha Swami's books are used as reference texts in many universities and leadership organizations throughout the world. Many of his books have been printed in English, German, French, Spanish, Portuguese, Macedonian, Croatian, Russian, Hebrew, Slovenian, Balinese, Italian, etc. Bhakti Tirtha Swami directly had overseen projects in the United States as a senior member of ISKCON's GBC, particularly Washington, D.C., Potomac, Maryland, Detroit, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, West Africa, South Africa, Croatia, and Bosnia. He also serves as a director of the American Federation of Vaishnava Colleges and Schools. A specialist in international relations and conflict resolution, Bhakti Tirtha Swami constantly traveled around the world and had become a spiritual consultant to many high-ranking members of the United Nations, to various celebrities, of several chiefs, kings, and high court judges. In 1990, His Holiness was coronated as a high chief in Warri, Nigeria, in recognition of his outstanding work in Africa and the world. In recent years, he has met several times with the then President Nelson Mandela of South Africa to share visions and strategies for world peace. In addition to encouraging self-sufficiency through the development of schools, clinics, farm projects, and cottage industries, Bhakti Tirtha Swami conducted seminars and workshops on principle-centered leadership, spiritual development, interpersonal relations, stress and time management, and other permanent topics. He is also widely acknowledged as a viable participant in the resolution of global conflict. I personally, like Mahaprabhuji, my godbrother Mahaprabhudas, we met Bhakti Tirtha Swami for the first time in 1979. He had been to the Mayapur festival, then he had come to our Juhu temple, and he had come to our house. It was remarkable because I used to always imagine, wrongly of course, because our conditioned soul is apt to make mistakes. I used to always think, because of the movies, theaters, and so on and so forth, that a person who is very handsome or good-looking has to be very fair. But I suddenly saw a very magnetic personality. And then I realized that how Krishna must have appeared. Bhakti Tirtha Swami was like a reflection of Lord Krishna's beauty. Bhakti Tirtha Swami also had the same intent capacity to do kirtans for hours together. Right here in this hall, I have seen him do for 4 or 5 hours, non-stop. He would sweat, but every drop of his sweat looked like a diamond. It would sparkle. It was so beautiful. He was beautiful. He is beautiful. This is one of the mark of Krishna, and this glorious opulence of beauty of Krishna, which is unique, was bestowed by Krishna on Bhakti Tirtha Swami through the agency of Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Bhakti Tirtha Swami, again, like Krishna's wonderful 63rd quality, had the wonderful association of devotees and friends, which was unique. And it was his personal request to Radhanath Maharaj to remain with him. Of course, in the updates which we used to see every day here in Bombay, and it was wonderful because many devotees would send us, and then I would send to others, anything we heard about Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Every day we would open the computer and we would get various chat or certain news. And every time I used to ask devotees, have you heard anything? What is the latest situation? And we would be updated on Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Then one of his senior disciples sent me a complete text of the last lecture that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj made, with, in brackets, that matter of he was laughing for so long. And believe me, I was alone in the room laughing along with him. And people who would come in my office must have wondered why Dr. Desai is laughing so much. But you see, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was thousands and thousands of kilometers away. Yet, he was just next door, next to us. Because we were reading and hearing him, and we were reading all his pastimes from his senior disciples. Radhanath Maharaj loved and still loves, and I'm sure till his last breath he will continue to love and associate with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj wherever in future. We as disciples of Radhanath Maharaj are fortunate that Radhanath Maharaj was able to be with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj for so long. And at the special request, he remained with him right through. So, with these few words, and I know there are others, I would like to thank you all for coming. And we are going to have a special lecture on Sunday, series of glorifications of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj ki.
Hare Krishna. So, I would like to thank all the devotees for coming this evening. I'm sure many of you have your own realizations and also many personal interactions that you may have liked to share with all the devotees here on this day. But we are making it on Sunday, the whole Sunday feast lecture, and followed by offerings. We'll be offering it, it will be offered to Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. Now we'll have a prayer to the departed Vaishnavas, followed by Pushpanjali, and then Guru Puja, and there will be Prasadam for everyone. Thank you very much. Cheers.
Jay Anilo Premadana Karuna Pracho. Jay Anilo Premadana Karuna Prachur. हे न प्रभु कोता गेला आचार्य ठाकुर हे न प्रभु कोथा गेला आचार्य ठाकुर कहा मोरा स्वरूप रूपा कहा सनाता कहा दस रघुनाता पतित पावा कहा दस रघुनाता पतित पावा कहा मोरा भट्ट जुग कहा कबीरा एक काले कोठा गेला गोर कटरा एक काले कोठा गेला गौर नटरा पाषाण कुछ माथा अनल पसीब गौरंग गुनेरा निधि कोता गेले पापो गौरंग गुनेरा निधि कोता गेले पाबो से सब संगीरा संगे जे कोलो दिला से संग ना पाया कांडे नरोत्तम से संग ना पाया कंडे नरोत्तम जे अनिल प्रेमाधाता करुणा प्रचुर हे न प्रभु कोता गेला भक्ति तीर्थ को जय वैष्णव ठाकुर जय वैष्णव ठाकुर वैष्णव ठाकुर जय वैष्णव ठाकुर जय वैष्णव ठाकुर वैष्णव ठाकुर वैष्णव ठाकुर जय वैष्णव ठाकुर जय भक्ति तीर्थ महाराज जय भक्ति तीर्थ महाराज भक्ति तीर्थ महाराज जय भक्ति तीर्थ महाराज जय भक्ति तीर्थ महाराज जय भक्ति तीर्थ महाराज भक्ति तीर्थ महाराज जय भक्ति तीर्थ महाराज प्रभुपा 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 जय प्रभुपा
इस डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति तीर्थ स्वामी महाराज की श्रील भक्ति तीर्थ स्वामी महाराज ग्लोरियस डिपार्चर की
आज के।